Good morning and welcome to Neocon View. I'm Peter Newman. And with us this morning is Stuart Martin. We're going to kind of stretch the definitions of where we view in Neocon, because Stuart is, well, we may talk about a good many things, but among other things is president of the Rotary Club of Seaside. And good morning, Stuart. You're going to have to explain how come you live in North Tillamook County and you're the president of Seaside.
Good morning, Peter. It's great to be here. The reason is because when we were building our home in Neocon, someone had been scouting out the fact that I was a Rotarian, and they wanted me to join the Rotary Club of Seaside. At that time, there was no Rotary Club in our area here, Manzanita, Nehalem, Wheeler. That came later. So I went to that club meeting. I went to the Astoria Club meeting. I went to the Tillamook Club meeting and decided that Seaside was the most suitable club for me.
And how did you base that decision?
On size and activity and the kinds of things they did. I was coming from a larger club in the Bellevue area, so this seemed like one that was active and involved.
And you have now risen to being president of it, but you must interface with all the other Rotaries.
We do. In fact, Denny Jones, with a little help from me, was able to form a club here in the Neocon, Manzanita, Nehalem, Wheeler area. And I attend those meetings regularly, and we do projects together.
You know, I think for most of us, when we think Rotary, we get about as far, unless you're a member of Rotary, you get about as far as just knowing that when you drive into a town, there's a sign that says the Rotary meets at 11 o'clock at such and such location. So maybe we should just back up a little bit and talk about what Rotary is, and for that matter, why is it called Rotary?
Good question. Well, about 106 years ago, there was a fellow named Paul Harris, who was a young lawyer in Chicago, and he felt apparently a little lonely, looking for other people he might do business with, and asked three other people to come to a meeting. And at that meeting, they decided to rotate the location of the meeting to each of their respective offices, and they joined other people up in the organization and eventually called it Rotary. And it spread all over the place, in addition to the West Coast here. There were clubs in L.A. and San Francisco and Seattle. It started spreading into Canada and the U.K. and eventually all over the world. Today there are, as I understand it, 32,000 Rotary clubs in about 200 different countries or areas, 1.2 million Rotarians, so there's a lot of them.
And what's the glue that holds it together? The mission statement, if you will.
Service. It's a service organization, so The basic motto is service above self, and it's the notion that we can serve our communities, serve our vocations, serve our own clubs, and serve internationally. Clubs get together and do international projects of all types.
And I want to talk to you about that, because I know you're heavily involved in some international activity. So on the local level, what are some of the service activities that Rotary is doing these days?
In the Seaside area, which covers quite a bit more than just the city of Seaside, the club has been involved in assisting someone who couldn't get out of their house have a ramp. That was a nice hands-on project. We put playground equipment in the Goodman Park, where kids can climb all over it safely. We've worked with the city of Seaside on several projects. We distribute dictionaries to fourth graders who don't have their own dictionary. They can have it both at school and at home to look up the meanings of words. There's just a whole variety of things like that. We just made a big contribution recently to the fund that will be used to either make the building better for where the South County Food Bank is, or possibly a new building.
Is there a sort of typical Rotarian that we could describe? Or am I looking at him?
I don't know the answer to that. They come in all shapes and sizes. All vocations are welcome. Everything from an auto repair person to a professor in a university. They're certainly typically are doctors, lawyers, bankers, accountants, but they're also regular folks who run retail stores, who volunteer. We have a new person joining the club who will be a pastor in a church, so lots of folks are welcome.
And what drew you specifically to Rotary? Do you remember what what caused you to go through that door?
Yeah, funny story. I was fairly new in Bellevue. We'd been in Portland for many, many years, and went grocery shopping, and there were these two fellows wearing these funny blue and gold vests standing out front selling raffle tickets, And near them was a car with a big stuffed bear on top of it. I thought, what's this about? So I just started chatting with them and ended up understanding that they were raising money for the support of local charities, local good organizations. And he invited me to a meeting. I found it was really attractive, fun, energetic, hardworking group. And so I joined.
Now, you mentioned the idea of service, and that can be expressed in so many different ways. And frankly, if you're doing one activity, you're not doing another activity. So how do you choose among the very many needs that any community has, the talents of the people involved? What's the decision-making process?
That's a great question, and I believe that's really up to the individual to decide what lights their fire, what can make them feel happy to serve, even passionate to serve. Some people, for instance, gravitate towards serving youth. We have a youth exchange program. We have the possibility of having interact within high schools where they do their own projects. Some people like to serve seniors in their circumstances. They have needs as well. Some people like to serve based on the kind of thing they do, whether it be water projects or literacy. It's up to them to choose, and Rotary's pretty flexible that way.
But it is a group activity, so you have to bring your colleagues along. Is that how it works?
Yeah, it's kind of a political process. Somebody gets a real bug to do something, and then they persuade a few other people, maybe form a committee or start a project.
And we'll walk me through that. What might be the decision-making process? Is it like any group? What are our resources? What do we hope to accomplish? Is it pretty standard stuff?
Yes and no. If somebody's really excited about something, they may say, I want to do a new kind of fundraiser to raise money for that project. So that can be the genesis for a new method of fundraising. Sometimes it requires coordination with other groups, city governments or other service organizations, or with international groups. And sometimes it's just something you can do yourself. You know, go out and buy the dictionaries and deliver them to the kids and watch them smile.
Well, what's one? Have you done that? Is it just a one-man band? This is what I want to do, and I'm going to go out and do it? Or is it more that you enjoy working collaboratively?
I like working collaboratively. You can get much more accomplished, and it's more fun to be social as you do your service. That's one of the tenets of Rotary, is to use your acquaintances as an opportunity for service. So the area I've fallen into recently, the last few years, has been water and sanitation work. And certainly we have some needs in our own country, but the biggest effort is in countries where the need is really strong, where young girls typically walk miles with these dirty pails or containers. They bring back water that you and I wouldn't even consider drinking, and that's the family's water. They may make the trip twice, 3, 4, 5 miles round trip, and then sometimes it means they don't get to go to school. They lose their education, but they've helped the family out, and it just perpetuates that cycle of poverty.
Our guest this morning on Neocony View is Stuart Martin, a resident of North Tillamook County, also the president of the Rotary Club of Seaside. And Stuart, the issue of water and sanitation, that's really taken you all over the world.
Yes, and we'll continue to, I think.
What's coming up? And where have you been and where are you going?
Well, that changes every few months. It's interesting. One of the fun things I did, very productive actually, was to go to Indonesia. I took a group of Rotarians and spouses, 21 of us, and we went to 5 different locations, looked at projects, brought them back, and then found methods of funding them, both locally and with matching grants from Rotary. And that has led me to now be part of the WASRAG group, Water and Sanitation Rotarian Action Group, and I'll be going to Honduras and Costa Rica here in January and February, and it looks like I'll be going to Thailand for the international convention in April and May.
Well, you are a recovering attorney, and
yes.
What was the leap from that to water? It could have been anything else, although I can't really think of too many things more fundamental and important than water.
You're right, and the United Nations just declared that within the last few months, that it was a basic human right that everyone should have. When I came here, it was a view that I would continue practicing law, and I still did have clients in Portland and in Bellevue. But over time, over the last several years, it didn't make much sense to do that. I wasn't eager to travel away from our beautiful location here. So I hung up my shingle and I said, I got to do something. I'm still pretty young. So I got more involved in Rotary, did more international work, also some more local work, and that led to the water and sanitation. And it was a natural fit because I'd served on the water board here in Neocony for several years as a water commissioner. When I was young, I did lifeguard kind of stuff, you know, taught adults how to swim. And even when I was a young engineer, I learned about water treatment. So it felt comfortable to me, and it was an area Rotary does well.
Well, I want to stay on the subject of Rotary and some of your other activity, but maybe you can just briefly speak to this. My understanding, I mean, you see some of these futurists who talk about coming water shortages and the
yes.
fact that it may be one of the single biggest points of strife in the future, just because water wars, that sort of thing, coming up. Is that something that keeps you up at night worrying about that?
I'm afraid that's bigger than what I can manage in my Rotary world. It is certainly something that we all need to be focused on. So I think everyone can benefit from conservation measures and finding ways to do the things we do that are less water consumptive. In the U.S., a lot of the water that is used is for industrial or manufacturing purposes. And we don't do a great job always of recycling gray water and sanitary waste. We could do that better. In the countries I work with, sometimes they don't even consider having a flush toilet because it doesn't make any sense. It would be such a waste of water to try and do that. So they use composting toilets. Maybe someday we'll do that in this country.
What's some of the before and after? Pick a country that you've been involved with and what you saw coming in and what you contributed as you head out the door.
Well, of course, countries have enormous needs, so we don't do the whole country at once, although we're actually trying to plan for that now. One great project that we did was in Bali, Indonesia, up in the hills. There are a number of villages, I think 8 or 10 of them, that didn't have a good source of fresh water. And the Rotary Club there found some springs nearby with the help of an engineer and designed a system that would distribute the water gravity-fed to all of the villages. Our club took that as a lead project. We found other Rotary clubs in our district to join in. We got the matching funds and actually helped them redesign it a little bit because they hadn't considered certain things like friction and head losses. And then they installed it over about a 6-month period. And now all those villagers have a fresh water source right in their village.
You may not be the ultimate expert on all things water, but you certainly bring a wealth of experience. Around here,
we got lots of water.
We've got lots of water, but is there any risk of having shortages? Maybe not now because the economy is sort of in the doldrums, but as the area grows, should we be concerned that some of these smaller communities really can't support too many more people without having water issues? Or do we really have enough water?
I'm not aware of any of that. There was some risk of that being the case in Neocony years ago, but that was before we had some better leak detection and water metering and things like that. So I don't think that appears to be a risk now, although I'm not on the water board. I'm sure they're looking at that. So I've not heard of that kind of a problem. It seems like our North Coast communities have that figured out.
Around this time of year, it's easy enough to yeah. believe that.
Anyway. We have more water than we need. It all runs into the ocean.
What are some of the geographic divisions of Rotary around here? You know, the fact that you initially gravitated towards Seaside, North Coast. How is it all defined? How are the jurisdictions developed?
Rotary clubs spring up where they're wanted or where people want to form them. Usually one club will help another area form a club. That was the case here in our area. So it's population centers. You know, there has to be enough people to support a club, have it be active. It starts with a minimum of 20 people, and it can grow to almost any size. Our club in Portland has several hundred members, but the average is 20 to 45 members.
And once a group decides they want to get together, is there sort of an accreditation process so you are an official
yes.
Rotary organization?
Yes. Yeah, there are certain minimums they have to adopt. Constitution and bylaws have at least 20 members at the start. There's sort of a basic structure and the avenues of service I talked about. But within that, there's lots of flexibility. So any club that forms or a community that has certain needs, they can identify what those needs are and try and figure out a way to solve them.
And what sort of coordination between the various Rotary organizations? Because there may be something that you want to do, but there may be that expert or that person in another organization that really has the knowledge base to. Do you trade ideas every now and then?
We do, and that's an excellent point. I think that's something that we're working on doing better, especially in the water and sanitation area. Oftentimes, a club will find a project and use the simplest approach that they've heard about. They'll just choose the first technology. In Africa, let's drill a well. In Indonesia, let's find a spring and have that work. Sometimes they don't even test the water, which is unfortunate because you want to be sure that water is just as good for them as it would be for us. So those kinds of technologies, the different approaches, we're actually building a database that will house them and which will refer to other resources and help Rotarians make better choices and choices that can be monitored and actually measured and then reevaluated every few years to make sure they stay in service. On the trip to Indonesia, I was walking through some villages, and for instance, there was alongside the road this toilet block structure made of concrete, and it was empty. It was not being used. In fact, there was garbage in the toilet areas, and I asked the person, what happened here? Why did this happen? Well, the government came in, and they just built it. They didn't consult the local people. They didn't choose materials very wisely because it's really hot to sit in one of those. And it's on the side of the road where there's no sense of privacy. It's not near a village. So the people said, enough of that. I'm not going to use that. I'm still going to openly defecate in the fields and throw the garbage in there. So Rotary tries to work very closely with the villages and say, what is your culture? What is the utilization you want to make in your village? What are your needs? And meet those needs rather than come in with some North American imposed idea.
And if it's something like Indonesia or the countries in South America, Central America, that you're going to visit, you contact Rotary people there initially?
Yes.
And that presumes, of course, there is a Rotary at that receiving end.
That's right. That's right. And if there isn't a Rotary club, one can be formed. In Myanmar, for instance, there are no Rotary clubs at present, but there is an effort to form Rotary clubs there, and Rotary is already doing projects through the nearby clubs. Almost all projects start with the village and the community needs, and the local Rotary clubs then talks to them and says, okay, that's what you want to do. We'll help you figure it out and raise the money to do it. Then it goes to the rest of the clubs to say, we want to do this project. Here's how many people it will benefit. Here's the nature of it, how much it will cost. Here's the technology. Will you help us? And everyone's hands go up in the air. Yes, yes, I'll help. And they throw in some money or some assistance.
Our guest this morning on Niakani View is Stuart Martin, the president of Rotary Club of Seaside and a resident of North Tillamook County. Since you mentioned Myanmar, it occurs to me that everything you've talked about so far should be inherently non-political, and yet you can't help but go into a community or another country and bump up against politics at some point. How do you thread that needle?
Rotary is a non-religious, non-political organization that does humanitarian work around the world, and we deal with different governments, different churches and religions, different points of view all the time. That's one of the things that's wonderful about Rotary. So, for instance, there's a risk of corruption in many of these countries. We find a way to get the money directly applied to the project, make sure the stewardship is done right, accounted for, reported back.
But what if there's opposition to that? Because that is exactly what corruption's all about.
If it's such a hostile environment that we can't operate, then we can't. I mean, that's just practical. But it's pretty amazing what Rotary can do. I was talking to a fellow on a bus ride one time who was from the island of Cyprus, which has been divided by political argument and war forever, it seems. And Rotary clubs have been part of the breakdown of that division. They actually meet now for training and share ideas, even though there's still a very strong border and the Turks and the Greeks don't like each other.
And Stuart, you have an activity that's coming up December 1st. What is that and how does it involve the community?
We do. On December 1st, 5:30 in the evening at the South Campus of the Clatsop Community College, there'll be the first meeting ever of what we're calling a community core. Maybe it'll be called the North Coast Rotary Community Corps. That's to be decided. But it's a way for people in the community, the bigger area community, to decide how they can help their community. If they want to be volunteers, if they want to provide equipment, if they want to provide sponsorship, if they want to get friends together for a work party, any of those are open. It's a vehicle for people to participate, and Rotary's going to help it, guide it, but it does not control it. These people will decide what they want to do.
And what's the geographic boundaries, if you will, for that?
Anywhere from north of Gearhart down to Manzanita, from the ocean out to Elsie. That's sort of the rough boundaries.
And how can folks who are interested get in touch with the Rotary organization?
If they can come to the meeting, that would be best.
That's December 1st.
December 1st, 5:30 at the college campus upstairs. And if not, just contact the club. We have a website, seasiderotary.com. You can send a message to me, president@seasiderotary.com. We'll definitely get you connected.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about your other activities. You said service, and I happen to have known you for a good many years and know that if you run down a list of any given organization in North Tillamook County and beyond, you know, there's a better than even chance your name is on the list.
I don't think it's that bad, is it?
You can either take the credit or deny all responsibility. But
Karen commented on this very thing one time. We were at a meeting in, first time we'd ever gone to a neighborhood meeting in Northeast Portland when we lived there. And we walked in, and the person who was presiding said, "Oh, there's Stuart Martin. He'd make a great president."
Right.
And Karen said, "What do you have on your forehead? The words tattooed, 'I will serve.'" I think it started with my mom and dad. You know, they really taught me that that was a valuable thing to do.
And again, there's so many choices you could make, but I know you've been involved in education, chess club activities at schools and speech activities in schools, plus mm-hmm. volunteering in the performing arts area. How do you personally make those decisions about what where you want to spend your time?
Wow, that's a tough question. I guess at my advanced age in my early 60s, I'm looking for things that will make me feel like it's a life worth living, where I'm really making a contribution. I have accumulated quite a bit of experience, and so if I can utilize some of that experience and help an organization, that makes me feel good.
And you're also getting to be on stage some these days,
which
we see you and hear you in places, singing and acting, which, you told me you called it a sanity outlet?
Yes.
Which I could ask, of course, you know, why you need a sanity outlet and what implications there are there.
I think the previous answers explained that.
Right.
And I never would have guessed that. When we moved here, as I say, I was practicing law. I'd done some community activities, but the last time I ever sang was in seventh grade chorus. I'd never considered being on stage. I didn't even enjoy trial work that much, you know, that performing aspect of being a lawyer. So how did it happen? I just called up and said, is there a play somewhere in Tillamook County? And they said, "Oh, you just missed one, but we're auditioning for Oklahoma. Would you like to come down and audition?" And I chuckled and said, "Well, my role is to sit in the seat and applaud. That's what I know how to do." But I wasn't doing anything else that day, so I went down to watch, and they cast me as Carnes, the father of Ado Annie, and I got to tote a shotgun and force the peddler to marry my daughter. I was the judge at the end of the trial, sang a song and danced. It was a blast. So since then,
Was that a revelation to you?
It was.
You had no idea that within you, you had a performing instinct?
That's correct.
That's unusual.
Well, I should say I did have a performing instinct in the sense that I used to play the violin and perform in that sense, but never as a singer or as an actor. So, and this is not uncommon. I hear this kind of story around here all the time. People pick up arts and fabric arts and all kinds of things that they'd never considered or maybe they'd wanted to do, but now they can blossom doing them. I think this is a very creative area.
It's a very creative area, and it's also a very nurturing one. It's one that says, you know, do you want to do that? And you were talking about, the idea in the case of Rotary is service, but there's also the community that that reaches out and says, well, what do you want to do? How do you want to serve? How do you want to help us? And how can we help you?
Yes.
There's an awful lot of that that goes on, and that's one of the things I've been trying to do with this program, is to introduce the audience to people who really have a lot going on that can help other people. And it's quite extraordinary that the range of activities and interests and talents that exist in the North Oregon community.
I agree completely. We were drawn here because of the natural beauty, but it's the people and their interests and talents, the wide spectrum of people that we have here, that keeps us excited to be here.
Well, I want to swing back and talk about Rotary and the upcoming project that you have. You're leaving for, you said, Costa Rica?
Yes, and, end of January, early February.
And so walk us very briefly through what you do, because the idea of just getting off of a plane and all of a sudden, here I am in a foreign country.
Well, yeah, that
I
wouldn't
want to do
work.
Something.
That
no,
wouldn't
I mean,
work.
What's the prep work?
I find my job is to be the regional team coordinator in all the countries where there's serious WASH needs, water, sanitation, and hygiene. So in this case, I'm talking to current leaders or WASH Rotarians in Costa Rica and in Honduras and saying, okay, who's involved? What are you trying to accomplish? And let me explain to you the WASRAG system. We're going to have everything from resources, engineering people, a database to track things, so that we can help them accomplish a whole lot more. But it'll be up to them to decide where and how to do it.
And how many people will be involved in this entire effort?
Oh, in each country there might be a handful at first. Eventually we want each regional team to have a dozen or 15 people, something like that, of different backgrounds. So it's a multidisciplinary team. Everything from the person who knows all about filters to the person who knows about village life and social culture. But worldwide, there are dozens and dozens of these countries, from Ghana and West Africa to Papua New Guinea and all around.
And I imagine you end up building up a lot of collective knowledge so that at some point, if you have a problem or an issue, you remember, oh, there was this person that I worked with back in Uganda.
Yes, and we want to pull that knowledge out of their heads and out of their email boxes and put it into a system that everyone can access so they can search for things, they can look at that and have a common experience and a best practice.
So is that actually being done? I mean, that is a systemic way of
We're developing a data system, I call it, that will try and track all that stuff and provide the resources so that a Rotarian who doesn't know about filters can say, I know I need to have water filtered, and here's the problem. And they can type in some stuff and then be presented some options visually and say, oh, okay, I see this type of filter is better than that type in this particular case.
That's quite amazing, quite remarkable, and congratulations on all that.
Thank you.
Our guest this morning on Neocone View is Stuart Martin. He is the president of the Rotary Club in Seaside, makes his home in North Tillamook County. Our guest this morning on Neocone View. Congratulations on all the good work and also the entertainment you've provided us when we see you on stage.
Oh, that's
Coaster
the fun
and
stuff.
Beyond. Thanks for joining us this morning on Neocone View, and I hope you had a terrific Thanksgiving weekend. We will see you next month, right after Christmas.